First today, we're going to go into that little tricky space where you've got endless possibility and unbridled freedom, and it just happens to bump into the old rigid structure of law. And I'm talking about the internet, which, look, you know what? Since we've discovered pretty much every other place on Earth, it's pretty much the closest thing we've got now to the old Wild West. It's like a frontier land, still, the internet a bit, I think. You know, it's sort of so far away from everything that everything that you've known, that the law somehow seems a little bit less applicable. It certainly seems more malleable, where the wild expanses represent both limitless potential and, of course, unpoliced wasteland. Where, you know what, the way I see it too, when it comes to questions about privacy that we're going to look at the moment and all these sorts of things where head-scratching things about the internet that we don't understand, it's a bit like we're all extras in those old Western bar scenes. You know, the ones where you barely raise an eyebrow where a guy gets shot because you just know, well, the authorities can't do anything about it. The scene of today's frontier skirmish is Facebook, and the question is about your rights to privacy in an online world. Facebook will now use personal information gathered from your activities elsewhere on the web, so other stuff that you're doing, to more precisely target advertisements for when you're on Facebook. So basically, this is having your browsing history mined for the purposes of advertising. And look, to a degree, this is happening everywhere. But should we be happy about it? Because it's basically the old world equivalent of being followed around by an advertising agency who record everything you do, everything you're interested in, and then go and, you know, doctor the advertisements in the newspaper the next morning, or indeed on the TV that you watch that night to suit those interests. And certainly there's nothing annoying about having annoying advertisements replaced by potentially slightly less annoying advertisements, but what about your right to go about your business without the corporate world tracking it? You know, people do lots of sensitive things online. We look up sensitive health information, conduct social lives online, and so on and so forth. I mean, is it all fair game for that stuff to be recorded and used by big business? And it's not just all online in a sort of web browser, jump on, check the footy scores sense. But what about something like smart meters? I mean, you're likely to be aware of the technology that's more apparent in Victoria and other places. It's this high-tech, you know, touted as pro-consumer measure to help you control your energy use. And there's a thought that they can send information from your home to interested parties, tracking things like what you watch on television and other household behaviours. I mean, heck, is your behaviour in the four walls of your house sacred? And should it be? Or is this just another one of these Western barroom shooting scenes where the piano stops for a second, everybody realises the situation can't be helped, and goes back to drinking shortly thereafter? IT web security expert Stuart Garian is, I guess he's almost our Clint Eastwood in this increasingly obtuse analogy. Stuart Garian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will. I'll load the six-shooter now, shall I?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, can we start with smart meters? I hadn't heard about this. You put me onto this. How are they contributing to this seeming erosion of privacy?
Look, this is a fascinating one because, as you explained in your spiel, the smart meter is designed to kind of keep track of your energy use around the house, minimise that. But to do that, it kind of needs to know what all of the things are that are using the energy. So when you have a big burst of electricity use in the morning, it wants to know, or you can tell it, like, is that the toaster, or is that the kettle, or is that someone running a hairdryer? Maybe we can do that more efficiently, or whatever it might be. Have we left the plasma TV on? Because TVs can use a phenomenal amount of electricity and so on. And as we then get into this Internet of Things idea where everything starts becoming smart. I mean, our phones are already smart. Our cars are becoming smart, as we've discussed before, so they communicate, you know, back to the manufacturer and say, hey, I think we're getting a bit more wear than we should on the differential, so maybe, you know, schedule a service a little earlier. All that's kind of good stuff. But as everything gets smarter, there's more detail that it can report back. And there's been some fascinating research. Okay, it was in a laboratory situation, but let's say you're watching TV. Now, in any given television program, there is a pattern of brightly lit scenes, dark, moody scenes, you know, rapid changes or long, steady shots or whatever they might be, they create a pattern of electricity consumption of that TV, depending on whether it's light or dark, rapid or not. And it turns out that you can probably fingerprint which TV program you're watching or which movie you're watching by that pattern. Now, I don't quite know what use that is. Oh, yes, it can. Let's say it's for advertising. Yeah. We know that you're watching a particular TV program. You're watching a particular drama series. Maybe they'll offer, hey, have you watched series one of this? We can send you the Blu-ray of series one. I notice you're watching a kids program with particular puppets in it. Would you like to buy the puppets for the kids?
Well, yeah, you know what? I think these things all fit under that sort of broad umbrella, a bit like Facebook's decision to start sourcing this information from activities that you conduct elsewhere on the web. It's sort of that broad philosophical question about the right to privacy in your own home. And I think part of the issue is it's hard. Something about it feels innately wrong, but it's hard to pinpoint what the actual damage of this might will be.
Isn't it? It's just a creepy factor, isn't it? You know, what do you mean that the electricity company knows I'm watching? Does it know about that other video that I watched late at night? Gee, I don't actually want that turning up anywhere, and particularly I don't want my partner to see ads popping up for related products.
So is it as sinister? I mean, are we ultimately at the end just slaves to what is probably a fairly basic human motivation, that is for the want for privacy, when in reality this isn't so sinister? Or do you think we should be guarded about this increasing erosion of privacy within the four walls of your own home?
I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think we need to be aware of what's going on and be aware that the companies that are rolling out services via the internet are not doing so for the well-being of you and me. They're doing it to make money. That's what companies do. That's not sinister or anything. That's just what business is for, to make a profit. And it turns out that it's easier for them to mine your personal data and sell increasingly more accurately targeted advertising than it is to actually bill you for it. If you do the arithmetic, you find out, you know, that Facebook cost X billion dollars a year to run, but it's got 1.2 billion users. So when you divide it out, if you were to pay for the same services that Facebook offers, the ability to organize events and store your photographs and whatever, the whole thing would probably only cost you $5 or $10 a year. But the cost of billing you for that, dealing with credit cards not working and, you know, dealing with the customer service problems, that would cost, you know, probably $30 or $40 a year. I'm pulling these numbers, you know, out of the air.
But
It's basically that it would cost far more to actually bill you for it than it costs to do. So it's actually in their interest to do it the way they're doing. And things that we know about. I mean, we are quite comfortable when someone down at the corner sandwich bar knows that we'd like to have a ham and cheese sandwich on Tuesday and starts making it, just says, hello, how are you going? Well, here's your sandwich.
Yeah.
That isn't creepy at all. We've got, you know, that's just being human. Mm. And as one Indian IT guy who now lives in the United States said once, he thought about this, and he said, look, I grew up in a rural village in India. We never had this thing called privacy. We're living in closely packed houses with the windows open because it's so hot and humid. We can hear every argument the neighbours happening. We know that the four-year-old kid is doing badly at kindergarten because she's just been told off by her dad. Privacy is actually a kind of Western middle-class idea that came out of the industrial age when everyone moved to the cities and the middle class started locking their doors and shoving the grandparents off to another place and all of that. So I find this fascinating, but at the same time, I keep thinking information is power, and the more information I have about you, the more I can influence you. Now, okay, the advertisers may know that I like, you know, certain things and try to advertise to me, but they also learn what tricks of the trade work. They don't only know that I might prefer an overly sweet, overly high-fat dessert with my meal, which is not good for my health.
Mm.
They can learn the kind of tricks, how to best target that advertising so that I will buy the thing that's bad for me. So does that become evil, or is that just business? I don't know.
Stu Gearin, we've had, actually I think it's probably more coincidence than irony, but a number of comments on the Facebook page for 5AA about this discussion. A couple of people have said, Jason and Michelle have said, people should install Adblock from Google. What do you know about that app?
Well, it's not actually from Google, but you can install it into your web browser. Okay. There's lots of Adblock plugins and people can just find that. What that does is that it intercepts all of the data coming back from a website and that you see on the screen and removes the advertising and removes some of the tracking information. Look, that's fine. I have used it myself from time to time, and then oddly enough, I've turned it off because I actually want to see the context of the advertising sometimes, but that's just me and the work I do. Kind of need to see that. There is a shift. There was a survey in the United States just recently by Consumer Reports, which is like their equivalent to Choice magazine in a lot of ways. And they found that most consumers said, it's actually no value to me if the ads are more appropriate on the website. I guess that's because no one likes the ads anyway.
Yeah.
And they really are feeling more uncomfortable with handing over the personal information. 76% was the number that people were, 76% of Americans say, no, we don't want to trade that data. So, I'm just thinking, if people start doing that, the commercial world will start paying attention. If people say, no, don't track me, I don't mind paying a few dollars for a service, or I don't mind if the ads are, I don't mind seeing an ad for a car that I'm never going to buy. Doesn't do me any harm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. You know. What about if the community goes another way and goes to legislators to try and find a response? They say, look, we've got this Western middle class problem that we call privacy that we'd like to
keep. Politicians pay a lot of attention to Western middle class problems.
Exactly.
They're the swinging voters, mate.
They're
the ones they listen to most.
So there's likely to be some will then in Canberra. Let's just play out this hypothetical and say we want to do. Is there a capacity for a country unilaterally, perhaps, to legislate in a way that would enshrine the rights of its citizens' privacy, or are we a bit slave to international agreements, free trade agreements, trans-Pacific partnerships, and so on, where to do so amounts to a restraint of trade that's probably prohibited?
Well, that's it in a nutshell there. But it's interesting that companies, American companies, because most of these big cloud-based internet services are American companies, and America has some of the loosest privacy laws in the world, but they want to do business in Europe. So what they do is work out ways they can work within that framework. For example, Germany probably has the toughest privacy rules in the world. For example, you simply can't keep a record of what people are living in a certain house and what religion they are. There's something in German history about that. I seem to remember where it all went very bad in the middle of the 20th century. So in Germany, you're just not allowed to do it. And the big companies say, well, all right, we won't. The face recognition technology, which Facebook uses to say, you tag a photo of your friend, that's my friend Brian, and then suddenly every photograph on Facebook that is of your friend Brian is similarly tagged. Not allowed to do it with Germany. So it's a German citizen or a German resident, Facebook is not allowed to apply that technique to them. So if they do tag someone, and then later up, it's like, hang on, we just worked out from their relationship data or their location data in their phone that they were in Germany, we now have to remove that tagging of their imagery. Look, there are starting to be legislative backlashes against this. Certainly, the other case you mentioned where Facebook is going to start accessing Google's history of what you've looked at on the web, the Federal Trade Commission in the United States will, I think, take a close look at that. They've certainly had a look at Google a couple of years ago and said, no, you can't just keep changing the privacy settings. You do actually have to ask people first, when you think about it, is just good manners. But I think it's fair to say that some of these companies are not the most mannered people in the world.
Yeah. Still Gearing, always fascinating speaking with you. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Will, anytime.
That's Still Gearing, our IT and internet security expert. Paul Gordon from Finlayson's Lawyers has been listening to this. G'day, Paul.
Hi.
There's this business of say, smart meters in our homes or the things we look at the internet on the internet becoming, you know, the domain of corporations around the world. Do you see any breach of privacy here under Australian law? Is there anything that protects us from this sort of stuff?
Well, the stuff that we're talking about there is probably your general personal information. And the laws that we have at the moment say that companies need to tell you that they're collecting it. They need to tell you what they're going to do with it. And they need to notify you if they're going to pass it on to anyone else. But it doesn't actually stop them from doing any of those things. They just have to let you know.
Which could be, which presumably is probably done in the small print of page 17 of a 34, yes, I've read and agree with this copyright agreement that you click when you first sign up to Facebook or something.
Well, it actually does say that it has to be made clearly apparent and you need to do more than just that.
Okay.
But there's no actual statement as to what that means. I mean, whether or not they need to send you just a letter saying, hey, by the way, this is what we're going to be doing with all your personal information. It becomes different, though, if you're talking about sensitive information. So that's information about your religion, your health, sexuality, things like that. So if we were listening to what Sue was saying before, and if they were able to tell from your smart meter that you were, for example, watching a whole bunch of stuff about Islam, let's say, then that could start to move into the realm of sensitive information, and they need your consent to keep that stuff.
That's interesting. So there is some protection built into the law, but I imagine this is largely untested in Australia at the moment.
That's right. I mean, we had major reforms coming in March, which changed things up quite a bit, and so we obviously haven't seen much happening since then. The other thing is that the Privacy Commissioner didn't really have powers to do a great deal before. That's now changed. There can now be massive fines for companies that don't comply with the Act. So we might see something happen. The other thing I guess people can take comfort from is the fact that companies can only collect and use information that is related to their purposes. So if I'm, for example, an energy company, I probably don't really have much legitimate interest in the fact that you have an absolute penchant for Pocahontas and watch it four times a week. You know, that's not going to be relevant to how much power I provide you.
But are they allowed then to trade that on or not?
No.
Right.
So they can't collect it if it's not for their purposes, and they can't provide it to anyone else if that's not a legitimate purpose for doing so.
Okay, well, where is the water muddiest when it comes to how this business of information gathering and new technology intersects with what's probably old law? And when I say old, it only needs to even have been passed in the 80s for it to be old in this context.
Well, I'd say there's stuff which was passed in 2006, which is already out of date. Look, I think that there's a lot of lack of understanding as to people thinking they have a right of privacy, which they don't.
Mm.
I think that's probably the biggest thing. Everyone thinks that, oh, but they can't do that. That's my personal information. As you say, that's sacred within the four walls of my house. But there's no such thing here. It's not like in Europe where you do have a right of privacy.
Mm.
I think that there are a lot of boundaries that we haven't quite worked out in terms of when does regular information become sensitive, and also, as I was saying before, as to how much notice you actually need to give people of what you're doing.
Paul Gordon from Finlayson's Lawyers, thank you for your time and indeed your insight as well. Is it a problem or do we overreact? I mean, is this ultimately, as Paul and Still Gearing have both pointed out, a byproduct of a sort of a cultural desire for privacy that ultimately is not preventing anything particularly sinister from happening? Or is it fundamental that, you know, when we were coming up with laws, when we were deciding what kind of society we wanted to be, nobody knew that at some point in time, the meter that they use to read how much electricity you're using might be used to work out everything else you're doing in your home. I mean, do we need to have a reimagination of that kind of thing? Are you comfortable with the idea that, you know, maybe all the things you're interested in and do in your home are in the domain of businesses that can and do access that information? Or do we need to draw a line somewhere?